This is Sam King coming with another Boilers Extra podcast. I'm currently recording this in Windsor, Ontario, where I'm staying ahead of tonight's game in Detroit between top seed Purdue and the 5-seed Gonzaga Bulldogs. Really a Sweet 16 matchup of two marquee college basketball programs that know each other pretty well. Kind of unique to get to the Sweet 16 and see two teams matched up that are pretty familiar with one another, but obviously the Boilermakers and Bulldogs have played the last two Novembers in the PK85 in Portland last season and then in the Maui Invitational earlier this season. You're really getting a matchup of two of the top teams, two of the hottest teams, I guess, the last 2 months of the season going into this. When you look at, probably that midseason loss that changed the trajectory of both these teams, I think you can pinpoint the January 9th game for Purdue at Nebraska, really the only game that Purdue, I felt like, got beat and couldn't have won that game. Nebraska shot lights out, if you recall, and really just kind of handed it to the Boilermakers a little bit there. But since that game, January 9th, Purdue has gone 17-2 in 19 games. The loss at Ohio State, obviously, was a close win, and Coach Diebler's first game as interim head coach, and now he's been promoted to the actual head coach of that program, and then the Big Ten tournament against Wisconsin in overtime. So 17-2 since the loss at Nebraska January 9th, and then look at the other side of the scale, and you have a Gonzaga team that lost on January 11th at Santa Clara, kind of a quizzical loss, I guess, if you take into account where those two teams are and just the history of Gonzaga. But that loss at Santa Clara, since then, Gonzaga's played 18 games and the Bulldogs are 16-2. So you're talking about two teams with a combined four losses since early January. That's pretty impressive. Both those teams lost in their conference tournaments, as I mentioned, Purdue to Wisconsin, and then Gonzaga lost to St. Mary's in the championship of its conference tournament. But both of these teams are familiar with one another, like I said, but also familiar with the path through the NCAA tournament over the years. Gonzaga, this is the ninth straight Sweet 16 for the Bulldogs, and Coach Mark Few, remarkable feat, probably the most least talked about storyline going into this. That's just impressive to have that run of sustained excellence there. And then for Purdue, obviously, in the Sweet 16 for the second time in 3 years. So all of these players on Purdue's roster, minus, you know, a handful of them, have experienced a run like this before. And like I said, the two teams know each other quite well. Purdue is 4-0 all time against Gonzaga. Not that that matters now, but probably makes you feel a little bit better if you're a Purdue fan to say, hey, history is on our side. Beat the Bulldogs by 10 in Hawaii earlier this year. Just kind of blew out Gonzaga last year in Portland to a degree behind Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer in that game, kind of leading the charge. And then, the time before that, you got to go all the way back to 2000. Ironically enough, a Sweet 16 game in New Mexico between the Boilermakers and Bulldogs that Purdue won, went on to the Elite Eight that year and lost to Wisconsin there, if I recall. And then the first meeting and the only one where Mark Few was not the head coach for Gonzaga, I believe he was an assistant at the time, was in Mackey Arena in November of 1998. So not that that translates, because both of these teams are far different than clearly the teams of the 98 and 2000 season, but also of early November and this year and end of last season. When you look at these matchups, I think it's a little bit of a contrast, because Gonzaga's a little different than the team in November. The Bulldogs now start three bigs. That's probably going to favor Gonzaga offensively a little bit, I would think. But on the other side, Purdue's got three guards. So that's, it's going to be kind of a battle of can Lance Jones and Fletcher Lawyer hit their shots and offset what the bigs are doing on the other side. But I also kind of like that that matchup, the three bigs with Purdue's defense, what it can do. And then clearly having Zach Edey is almost like having two people in the paint, because it's a detractor for people trying to go to the basket and score a lot of times. I like Purdue in this matchup for a lot of reasons. has nothing to do with what happened in November. It has nothing to do with anything other than probably more than anything depth off the bench. But it's going to be, I think this game's going to be won by guards. And that sounds kind of crazy to say when you think about Graham EK for Gonzaga being the Bulldogs' top player and being a guy that can really light it up around the basket and score at will sometimes against some of the opponents on the schedule there. But Ryan Nemhard, who a last name I'm sure Indiana Pacers fans are quite familiar with, younger brother of a Pacers player. So Ryan Nemhard and Nolan Hickman, they're two of probably the best guards in the country that if you're not paying attention, you should be, because those guys both can score. They both can get the ball where it needs to go. They're both really good passers, and that's going to be an interesting, intriguing matchup to see how those two match up with, whether it's, you know, I would assume Lance Jones and Braden Smith on them, but on the other end, how they're going to defend Purdue's interior, the post presence with Trey Kaufman-Wren, with Zach Edey, and then clearly when you bring Mason Gillis off the bench, what that can do to stretch the floor a little bit. So that's where I'm kind of looking, is right there, you know, it really kind of whittling it down to Braden Smith and one of these two guards kind of being an X factor tonight. But you ask me, I'll take Braden Smith pretty much 99 times out of 100 if you're asking to pick between him and another guard. So I do like that area, but you know, I've got kind of a pick to click here type of situation where I said a long time ago, and I've said time and time again, that Miles Colvin and Camden Heidi, even when they weren't playing a whole lot, were going to be difference makers in a big game in March. Miles Colvin was last week in Indianapolis to a degree. Camden Heidi was excellent in those two games in Indianapolis as well. But early in the season, when Miles was still trying to find his place with this team, wasn't playing a whole lot, came in the game in Honolulu and hit two threes against Gonzaga. And that was kind of, you know, I don't want to say his coming out party, but it was the first time where Purdue fans could kind of like see, okay, this guy is going to be something here. And then he goes through a stretch where he's not playing in some games, or he's not playing very many minutes. Totally different player now. I talked to Miles Colvin in the locker room yesterday before Purdue's practice, and he said when he went back and watched that Gonzaga game in November, he looked like a freshman. Said, you know, he's still a freshman, but I think you can just see the maturation and how far he's come, especially on the defensive end as a player. And then when you factor in his athleticism, his ability to elevate and get to the basket offensively, but also he looks so smooth and it's almost effortless when he shoots threes and he shoots them at a high clip. That's a guy that I'm watching out for. That if Purdue can win this game, I think Miles Colvin makes a couple of impact plays. And I really like that Purdue probably comes out of this thing winning a 4 or 5 point game, I'd say, just based on no insider knowledge other than I watched both of them play a couple times. Obviously, saw Purdue play 35 times, saw Gonzaga play a few times this year as well, and watched 15 minutes of practice. But the demeanor that Purdue has right now, very loose locker room. You know, Lance Jones kind of talked about his first really good game with Purdue was Gonzaga, and that kind of opened the door for him to fit in with this program a little bit. But just the, you know, it's last week I felt like it was all business like approach, and it was just kind of like Purdue went to Indianapolis to win two games and didn't expect anything less and walked out of there. And now, you know, kind of a little bit more open, loose, fluid feel in the locker room yesterday. But then when the Boilermakers went out on the practice court, it was, you know, hit the ground running. It was, again, flipped a switch, business-like approach. We came here to do a job. We're not happy to be here type of situation. So I really just feel like this Purdue team is on a mission. And I know anything can happen in March. Yesterday, we saw North Carolina go down. We saw Arizona go down. So, and obviously Illinois getting to the Elite Eight. So some teams that were expected to maybe be Final Four teams aren't there. Purdue is one that a lot of people are projecting to be a Final Four team. And I think that this is, you know, if Purdue can get two wins here in Detroit, we'll get it done, obviously. But I just feel like this Purdue team is kind of a team of destiny. And I know it's cliche to say that, but it's kind of been a feel like, that I've had really all year long, and I've talked about this ad nauseum now, but the first loss of the season at Northwestern, it just felt like, it almost felt weird at the time, but now looking back at it, it just seemed like this team wasn't going to be fazed by a loss in the regular season the way it was a year ago, and now it's on this path of when we play our best basketball, nobody can beat us, and based off of last week, especially that game against Utah State, I would say Purdue is playing its best basketball at the right time, something that clearly was not the case a year before when Purdue was going into the NCAA tournament. So my pick is Purdue to knock off Gonzaga tonight and move on to play either Creighton or Tennessee. If that happens, I will have a follow-up on this podcast and look ahead to that matchup probably sometime tomorrow. And if not, well, I probably will have a much different podcast. It'll have a much more sour feel to it for Purdue fans, but it's got to be done as well. So hopefully, from my vantage point, selfishly, just from a work standpoint, and then from Purdue fans' standpoint, for you all to celebrate having your season extended, I hope that Purdue gets it done against Gonzaga. And either way, you'll hear from me again soon. Thanks for listening.